Well, February 24th. Wow. 2019. It's like they just, the years just keep rolling by quick. Quick. Yeah, quick. I want to talk to you about the things, spiritual matters this morning. And I thought maybe we'll start in the book of Acts, chapter 1. All these years I've been reading the scriptures, and I am always unbelievably disappointed on how many ways people read them and how many things they come up with in different churches, different places, when it's really the one, it's all in English, you know what I mean? And let's just look at the Spirit. And cold, Tony? Okay. Because I know they leave that door open, it gets a draft down here. The hot air goes up, the cold air comes down. But in Acts chapter 1, when Jesus Christ was just before his ascension, he said this about what was coming and the Spirit that was coming to them. It says in verse 4, it says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me." Jesus Christ talked about the Spirit numbers of times. This is the promise of the Father. "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence." And then it says in verse 8, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." This is the promise of the Father. It's to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It is power from on high. And it is to be baptized with this Holy Spirit, you know? In Acts chapter 2, talking about the verse of the promise of the Father, which was the prophecy that was in Joel, the book of Joel. The prophet Joel spoke about it. But I wanted to just bring your attention to the fact that each and every soul who receives the Spirit gets an equal, absolutely equal portion. And they have exactly the same things. And it doesn't matter whether you're old or young or anything else. It says, it says in verse 17, and it says, "And I shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." You know, to prophesy is, there's two kinds of ways to think about it. You speak for me, but you also speak words that I give you to give to others. "And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon unto blood before the great and notable day of the Lord comes." That came to pass. And I don't know how many of you were here the day Joshua decided to prophesy without being asked for the first time. You all remember that? I remember it. You know, and I remember how he just boldly prophesied by way of the Spirit, and it was just perfect. And I remember everybody go, "Ah!" And then I all yelled at you all because this is what's normal. This isn't special. This is normal. And doing the Spirit is normal. And so many Christians think that it's something extraordinarily special. And it's so sad because their faith isn't in that this is normal and easy and given. So that's my problem with the attitude. Not that it's, you know, I understand the other point of view. It's normal. God has given us this gift. It came on Pentecost. And everyone who believes, when you believe, you receive the gift. And the gift gives you the ability to do so much. It's one gift that does a lot of different things. In 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 give you really the most succinct and complete package of understanding concerning spiritual matters that's in the Bible and the Spirit that we now have. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts." The word gifts is in italics, and, you know, I love the fact that King James puts the word gifts in italics and a lot of other words in italics. It just means that this word is added so that it reads better in English, but it's really not, it's got no corresponding Greek word. So it's simply added. All these italicized words in King James have no Greek word, but they are added because many times you can't translate a language one to another without additional understanding. You know, it just doesn't read correctly. Like I believe when I took Spanish, it was que hora es, right? You know, so what hour is it? We don't say that. We say, what time is it? It's the same meaning, but it just, in English, it comes out better. What time is it? In Spanish, it comes out better, que hora es. You know? And that's just the way it is. So when you translate one language to another, it doesn't always flow the way you would like it to in your language. Now concerning, he says now, we're changing the subject. Chapter 11, now concerning spiritual, and this is the word pneumatikos, which means spiritual matters. Brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And you're not going to be if you read what's written and work it in your head and in your heart. Because the last verse in this of this spiritual matters section says in chapter 14, in verse 38, it says, "But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant." In other words, he's laid out everything about spiritual matters. You choose whether you want to understand it or you want to be ignorant of the whole thing. And so, and this section of 12, 13, and 14 is about really your behavior with the Spirit. These guys knew how to manifest it. They didn't know how to properly do it. That's the difference here in Corinthians, that he's yelling at them for doing it incorrectly. And a lot of Christians don't believe you can do anything incorrectly when you do something with the Spirit. Am I correct? But then you look at the Old Testament and you look at the prophet Balaam. Or you look at the apostle Judas. You can have spiritual ability and still do it completely wrong. How about the other prophets that prophesied? but they did it by a lying spirit. It's still prophecy. It's still spiritual. You know? And it doesn't mean that you're the wisest person in the world if you look at Acts chapter 10. Peter, God's telling him, I want you to understand this new thing. The Gentiles are supposed to be in the church. And Peter's having a heck of a time with it. Because you got to jive. You just have to be humble. You have to be humble. You and I each have exactly the same amount of power, the same everything, same God, same Lord, same power, same baptism, same everything. And yet there's a variety of difference in the way things are done. So, good and bad. Motive has a lot to do with things. Let's go on. And the Corinthian church here, they had, and Paul's going to smack them right at the beginning of this. He says, you guys remember what you used to believe? Where you were at in your lives? For you know that you were Gentiles, and you were carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Somebody led you to believe in dumb idols once upon a time in your life. And you went that direction. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost, the word Holy Spirit, pneumahagion. So in the church of Corinth, there were those who were saying, when they speak by the Spirit of God, they're calling Jesus accursed. Or they're calling Jesus, they're cursing Jesus when they speak by the Spirit. You know, they say they're speaking by the Spirit. Now, when you speak by the Spirit, there's a number of different ways you can do that. You can do that by God gives you revelation to speak. You read the scriptures, because these words, their spirit and their life, but they didn't have the scriptures written to them just then. Or you're manifesting the Spirit. In this particular, these chapters, they're talking about the manifestations of the Spirit and walking by the Spirit. That's what we're talking about in these two. There were those that were saying you can curse Jesus. And Paul says emphatically, nobody who speaks by the Spirit of God can call Jesus accursed. Remember in John chapter 14, he says, you will glorify me when it comes. When you walk by the truth of the Spirit, it will glorify him. Not do anything negative towards Jesus. Now, there are diversities. The word diversities is really a good word. There are, by God's choice and operation, many different things. There are diversities of gifts. This word gifts is by God's grace, charisma. By God's grace, he has given in his church. There are many different things by God's grace. But I want you to understand, everybody's got the same spirit. You don't have any more than me. The preacher hasn't got any more than the teenager. And there are diversities, many different kinds and ways of ministries. Administrations is the word ministries, services. But it's the same Lord. Every single one of us got the same Lord. Lots of different, you know, Tony and I do different things, different ways. But if we're walking by the Spirit, we got the same Spirit. We got the same Lord. We may do it differently. And then it says, and there are diversities of operations. This word is energemata, workings. There are different ways things work. But it's the same God which works all in all. Most people in the church want to focus on the differences. This section of Scripture wants you to focus on the sameness. One Spirit, same Lord, same God. Working in people differently. Remember, the Spirit we have, one gift came on Pentecost. And it will work. It'll do its thing if you learn to walk by it. It will do its thing. And you may do it somewhat different than somebody else in service. I don't know. One can be a teacher. The other one can be administrator. And yet the church is served. And it's because God. And a lot of times he'll give the person with the least amount of natural ability a job that's supernatural to them. Like me, teaching. Okay? Or somebody who's got tremendous ability in taking care of and organizing things, and give them something else completely to do. Now, he may use the natural gift that you have, the inner ability, that's fine. But God really does want to prove himself to the person, as well as that this is about God, not about your natural ability. I just want you to look, same Spirit, same Lord, same God. It's all by God's grace. It is all about the service that you will render, and it's all about how he's going to work to do it. But the manifestations, but in contrast to everybody's got the same thing, but the manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man for profit. Withal, you can leave that in there. For profit in everything. All the manifestations, the evidences. And there's a difference. I have a gift, right? I got a one nice little illustration upstairs I've had for many, many years. A little penknife, right? I get the gift is the penknife, the Swiss Army knife, and it's got all these little gadgets that work inside that knife. It's got the knife blade, it's got the scissors, it's got the tweezers, it's got the magnifying glass. It's all in the one gift. The gift has different evidences that do different things, but you just got a gift. The manifestations are for profit. They're for things to get done. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Now, this is where people, again, tremendous amount of differences in what people believe. There are people who believe because of the way this is written, Tony gets the word of wisdom in the church, and then Mary gets the manifestation of tongues, and then Dwayne gets the interpretation of that tongue, and then you get the miracles. Do the miracle guy, and you're the healer guy. Watch. Just. I know it's four to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all of these work that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. You know, it's not one person gets wisdom, another person gets discerning of spirits. The Spirit is the gift. The evidences of the Spirit is to every man for profit. Whatever you need at any one particular time will be there as you will. It's divided to every man severally as the individual wills. When we have fellowship, the manifestation of tongues is not necessary. Manifestation of speaking in tongues is my private prayer life between me and God. I worship Him by Spirit. I give Him the words that He gives me to speak to Him by way of the Spirit. It's not used in public. Therefore, there's no profit to tongues in this meeting, so we don't do it. Do you follow me? I can do it right now internally. I can break the rules of God's word and speak it out loud at the moment. And many churches, they do that. But it's for my private worship. Prophecy, on the other hand, is for the edification and the exhortation of the church. So we have that in this fellowship every time we meet. The interpretation of tongues, if you do speak in tongues, you are to interpret, which also brings edification. It's a message to God. You know, you're speaking to Him. Prophecy is for the church. Now, is there someone who needs a miracle? Then it's available. Healing, it's available. You know, it's again by God's grace, by His mercy. He's the one that inspires it. Things that need to be understood, whether it's wisdom or discerning of spirits, knowing what's going on spiritually, that's available to every single child of God as they need it for profit. It's not for your amusement. And it's not to make you look good. It's for the only reason you get that is for profit. Okay? What good is it if God tells me every spiritual thing that's going on and I don't do anything about it? I'd just rather enjoy my day. Now, if I can do something about it, praise the Lord. Or if it protects me or my church, praise the Lord. But unless there's profit, it's not given. You see what I mean? And you don't choose what you want when you want it. You just simply know that it will be there. Does that make sense? Does anybody not follow any questions? I'm happy to take a question if you want to throw one out. Okay? All of these, verse 11 again, all of these work it that one and the self-same Spirit, they all come and are manifest from the one self-same. I mean, can we get any more one here? One, self, and same. One Spirit. All of these come from the one self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he, the man, wills. And this is not a complete list. These nine evidences that are listed here are not a complete list of everything the Spirit does. Spirit does a heck of a lot more than this. You read the Gospel of John, it does, you know, it lists it there. Many more things that the Spirit does. It gives you a fellowship between you and God. It's God in Christ in you. You can have an intimacy and a fellowship. Just like Jesus was led, you can be led. The Spirit helps your infirmities. The one infirmity you don't know what to pray for as you want. I mean, it's not listed here. And by the way, this is another thing that people get messed up with. verse 8, it says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. So this word is logos. It's not rhema. Rhema is a specific word. And I watch preachers do this all the time. I got a specific word just for you. Just for you. This is not the word rhema. This is the word logos. The whole word. It'll open up your understanding, just like it says in the Gospel of John, so that you can know the truth. He'll teach you his word, give you wisdom how to apply it. Same thing, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. All right? Word of knowledge. Again, it's the logos. When you open this scripture and you understand, you are operating. You are energized, you are utilizing the word of knowledge, and then you apply it, the word of wisdom. And I don't think even people recognize it. I would hear spiritual things before I was born again, before I accepted Jesus. That nonsense. Foolishness, craziness. Now I read and I see beauty, understanding, and I can apply it. That is the Spirit leading you. It's one of the things it does, guide you to the all truth. You don't need some preacher said, I got a word for you. And he's going to run your life. That is ungodly. You ask for help from somebody you respect, your minister or whatever, praise the Lord, they're happy to help you. You're still responsible for your decisions. You want some help understanding script, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that kind of humility. Nothing wrong with that at all. But when you have somebody else telling you how to live life, what you got to do, what you need to do, you got to sell everything, give your stuff to the poor, give it to me. I need a new plane. I don't want to go there. Do you understand me? God in Christ is in you, and you got the exact same amount as the preacher. So believe it. Just believe it. You ask the Father. You ask through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will give you even the rhema for your life. He will work within you to will and to do of his good pleasure. It doesn't say he's going to work through him to give to you. That's Old Testament. People didn't have the Spirit. Moses told them everything. Different world today. young, old, everyone got the same. Then we've been given the same abilities. We've been given those abilities for profit in these manifestations because we all have the same Spirit, the same Lord, and the same God. Now he gives you the illustration of how this body of Christ works. Because there are differences. There's nothing wrong with differences. You know, our society is overwhelmed today. Men and women are absolutely equal. Well, no, there are differences. One can have a baby, the other one can't. All right? They're biological differences. There are differences between our mental capabilities. Are we all human? Yeah. Can we all think? Yeah. Are some people sharper than others in certain areas? Yeah. Can one person be sharper in one area and stupider than hell in another? Yeah. I met an awful lot of really smart, dumb people. You got to be from Queens to say that, right? But look at how the illustration God gives us here in this. So you got to grab hold of this because this is spiritual matters. See, the Corinthian church wasn't going down this road. I'm better than you. I got a bigger spirit than you. I can manifest better than you. I'm louder than you. I can do this longer. And then we all do it. Let's compete. Let's compete and see who can speak the loudest in tongues in the church all at the same time. And see who's more spiritual than the other. You know, that's what was, you get to 14, that's what they're talking about. And it had nothing to do with loving one another either. That's why chapter 13's there. So the illustration is, for as the body is one, it has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are baptized unto one body. Didn't it say that chapter 1 of Acts, baptism of the Holy Spirit? The baptism that it's talking about here is not talking about water. For by one Spirit we are all baptized unto the one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink into the one Spirit. Everybody again, Jew and Gentile. Bond, or doesn't matter what financial setting you're in, doesn't matter what background you come from as far as Jew or Gentile, genetics, it doesn't matter. I told you a little while ago, it doesn't matter whether you're a child or an adult. Now, a child may not be able to function as well as an adult in life and understanding. But a child has got the same exact spirit that you do. I remember when, I went home from work. I was in Staten Island. My back was killing me. It was filled with arthritis. And I asked my son, because I was like tearing, and he says, "Daddy, why are you crying? Why are you crying, Daddy?" And I wasn't really weeping. I was just, the tears were coming down my face because it hurt like hell. And I said, "Well, Michael, you pray for Daddy." He prayed for me, and I got letters in my head. I think he was 4. He was 4. He says, "Daddy, I got letters in my head." I said, "What letters are they?" I said, "A, R." And he spelt the word arthritis. And then he said, God, I thank you for taking away all these letters and blessing my dad. Do 4-year-olds spell arthritis? I don't know if I could spell it properly. It was God working in him to show me he wanted to heal and to heal. And I got healed of that bout. It took a while, took a little faith, took a little time, but I got healed. Not every healing is instantaneous. You just keep plugging away and you keep asking and you keep seeking and it will be opened unto you. That's what it says, right? He was 4, and I asked him about it once upon a time. He didn't remember it at all. But I have no doubt the Spirit of God. I have no doubt. You know, it was just a little prayer for him. It was one of those little things hanging out on the bed with Dad. Many things like that. Many things like that for each and every one of us. Again, this logos of knowledge, logos of wisdom. God wants to teach you his word, and he wants to teach you how to apply it. And he's working on that all the time. And then discerning of spirits. You don't need to know the difference between a green light and a red light. It doesn't take a college course to figure that red is stop, green is go. All you got to do is hear it first, and then you apply it, right? Well, it's the same thing with spirit, knowing what's going on spiritually around you. You know, you can get a whole lot more detailed, no question about it, but I'm just simply saying for the basic everyday, just like this word of knowledge, and if you're asking God, is this right, this wrong, this evil, should I go here, not go here? I mean, it kind of gets obvious, doesn't it? You know, you walk down the block and everybody invites you to a shoot-up party. You know? Let's go shoot up heroin. Do you think you can discern that? Sometimes it's just that obvious. And then sometimes it's really slick. And you just know you need God's help and wisdom. I'm not trying to be facetious. It's not hard walking by the Spirit. It is a trust that he will. And whatever you need at the time for profit, it will be there. It has to be for profit. Not only for you, but also for the church. Okay? The ministries that teach are for the profit of the church, not for me. The gift ministries are gifts to the church. Different thing. But they're gifts to the church, not for the person. Verse 13, for by one Spirit you were all baptized into one body, whether you be a Jew or a Gentile, whether you be bond or free. You have all been made to drink into the one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. The body of Christ is made up of lots of people. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? It's an illustration. It's a silly illustration. But this is how the body of Christ works. One thing doesn't function at all like the other. And yet they're part of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where is the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where is the smelling? But now hath God set members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased. Who? You got nothing to do with it. Everybody wants to be, oh, I want to run around. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do the other thing. All I know is that you are in the body as it is pleased him. I believe that. And if they're, and if they were all one member, where is the body? If everybody's an eye, everybody wants to be a chief and there isn't no Indians, I mean, where's the tribe, right? It doesn't work like that. But now are they many members, yet but one body? I've got so many brothers and sisters I've never set eyes on in my entire life, and yet they're working in the body of Christ, and they're doing their thing, whatever they're doing, and the Lord is running the church, and he's directing it as it pleases him. My job is just walk with him. Do what he's got me doing. Don't worry about you. I worry about me. I pray for you. I'm concerned about me. The only person I can be concerned about. And verse 21, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Now, does that mean that there are people out there that are just like the slugs of the body? No, that's not the point. But the point is there are such differences in the body of Christ, the illustration, that you can't do it without the other. You know, somebody's the blood. You got no blood, you're dead. Somebody digests the food. You can't do that, you're dead. The things that you don't think about most of the time are the things that keep you alive. You know, we don't brush the stuff that keeps us alive. This is dead. The hair is dead, but we brush the hair. Want the hair to look good, the dead stuff. We spend a lot of time on the dead stuff. It's silly, silly illustration, but this is what we're talking about. Every single member is necessary. Everything, even the things we don't consider to be important, are more necessary for the body. Verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And on our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacks. And God is the one who gives the honor. You remember the widow and the mite she gave? And Jesus took note. You see that? She gave more than all of them. If you're going to shock the Lord Jesus Christ, you are doing something. That there should be no schism in the body. You know what? Whatever you're doing, whatever I'm doing, if we're doing the Lord's will, the Lord's work, he's working within us. No problem between me and you. Hey, how come you ain't doing this? How come you ain't doing that? I hear this all the time. I know we're all supposed to have the ministry of reconciliation. We're all supposed to read the Bible. There are certain absolute things. Jesus is Lord of all, right? He's the boss. There are propositions that are absolutely the truth, can't be changed. But there are various ways in which those things can be done and served. And whether verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. For one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God had set some in the church. First, apostles, secondarily, prophets, thirdly, teachers, after the working miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues. Now, yes, God has set some in the church. Is everybody a teacher? No. We'll get to this a little bit later on. But there are things in the church. God has set the things in the church. There are governments, diversities of tongues. Are all prophets? Is everybody in the church an apostle? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all working miracles? No, but they could. Have all the gifts of healing? Is everybody doing that today? No, it wouldn't be any need for if everybody was doing it, right? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No, not everybody doesn't speak in tongues, and not everybody interprets. The answer is no for everything. Can, and by God's choice, could he have this person be an apostle or a prophet or a teacher? Yeah, but is everyone? Again, it's with the illustration of the one body. Is everybody an eye? Is everybody an ear? Is everyone a prophet? Is everybody supposed to prophesy in fellowship today? That's what was going on in the Corinthian church. I got to outdo you. In fact, I'm going to outdo you while you're doing yours. Because I just want to make sure everybody knows I'm a man of God. Morons. But it was going on. It was going on. He says to them, but covet earnestly the best gifts. You know what the best thing, gift of God's grace is? Love. Again, they were doing lots of things. I want to be this. I want to be that. I want this. I sounded like a bunch of first graders, actually. I want to go first. I want to get online first. Look at me. Look at me. And that kind of mentality creeps into the church. It does. I think when people are insecure, that's when it hits them the most. But do the more excellent way. Do that which is more important than everything else. And again, by 14, he's going to give them, you violated this. You're speaking out loud, and there's no point in speaking out loud in tongues in the church. And you're all doing it at the same time, and people think you're out of your mind. This is not a witness for Christ. This is an absolute disaster. It's turning people off. And you can go to a lot of churches today, and they'll be rolling around on the floor, or they'll be all speaking in tongues at the same time, and they all look like lunatics. It's not for any profit. I know they think, well, this is a spiritual, we're being more spirit. Not according to this. According to this, you're not to do that. Because you don't care about the other. who's not understanding. You know, we primarily have the manifestation of prophecy here. I don't call on people really to do interpretation of tongues. One of the reasons why it manifestation, it says very clearly in these chapters, prophecy is preferred in the church. I don't forbid speaking tongues and interpretation, but prophecy is preferred. Or just read the chapters. Look at it. Hard. It says right here in as far as love goes, okay? I gotta wrap this up here sooner or later. Pretty soon. But just to look at this. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, because that's what speaking in tongues is, it's a language of men someplace on earth, or it has been on earth, or of angels, which I don't think anybody's understanding, and I have not love, what am I? I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I am become a real noise. This is prayer and praise to God. All right? Now, if I pray to God a rote prayer, like I used to do when I was in Catholic school, okay? And I just do it as fast as I could to say my penance. You know, you got to do 25 of those things in order to get forgiven. I go to confession. The priest say, do 25 of these prayers. Do 10 of those. Do 6 of those. Depending on how bad I was and how he felt about it. So you would do it as quickly as you possibly could. There was no thought, no heart, no penance, no asking for forgiveness. I just got to get done with the prayers. Maybe I was the only evil kid, but that's the way I thought about it. Okay? God doesn't care about any of that, does he? That is just vain repetition, he calls it in scriptures. Well, you know what? Speaking in tongues without love for God, you're just doing this to hear yourself. You're not focused on loving him. It's just noise to him. Just like the Hail Mary, the Our Father. Just noise. I mean, do you get it? The manifestation is for profit. You want to praise and give God worship? Your head's got to be engaged. Your heart's got to be engaged. This is for him. Would your head not be in if you were doing it in your own private prayer life in English? Father, thank you for your love and your goodness and your mercies. I'm just so grateful for all that you've done. Would that prayer not be from the heart and with love? Well, why would the prayer in the spirit be without love? The motive of, I want to give God what he wants to hear. The words that he gives my spirit that I can give to him. And without that, you're just a noise. And though I have prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove mountains, and if I don't have love, I am nothing. Do the other people get blessed by the prophecy? Yeah. But you don't. So you can operate the manifestation with an improper motive. And yet the knowledge is, I can teach today. I can teach God's word. You know how long I've been doing this? Long time. I can be in a really bad mood and fake it and teach pretty good. Do you ever have a headache and a really bad day and you can still drive down the street pretty good? Well, you do anything long enough, you teach anything long enough, you speak publicly long enough, you can fake it pretty good. You don't have to be in a perfect spiritual. And you know what? The people in the church may never know. They'll never know what's in the motive. Never know. You still get blessed by scripture that's taught. You still get blessed by the words that are spoken in the prophecy. That's from God to his people. But the individual giving it? Nah. You follow that? So though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned out in service, and have not this love for God, it profits me nothing. There are people who work their little buns off in the church, and they really forgot that they're doing it for God. They really have. Remember Martha and the two sisters? Martha, Martha, tell my sister to come and help me. I got all this stuff to do, take care of these people. Hey, she picked the better thing. Come over and sit with her. It's okay if they wait a little while to get the food. To clean the dishes. You forgot why you're there. And Jesus was the one teaching. We come to bless one another. You come to receive, but you also come to bless and to minister. Or did you forget why you come? There are people who do. Church wasn't very exciting today. They didn't have good music. I'm going to go someplace else. You forgot. This was about you fellowshipping, loving one another, ministering, encouraging one another so that you all go out for the rest of the week and do his word. That's why we come together. That's what it says. I think, I read it. So, spiritual matters. These are the rules. These are the truths that the Lord lays out in chapter 12. The motive is 13. The specifics in 14. And it's all there to be read and understood. And yet, church after church, place after place, many of us don't get close. I've learned things over these last numbers of years that have changed my mind on a bunch of things. But it's here to be read. It's here to be understood. So that's what I wanted to share with you.